and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. Time to reveal the geekly things that happened last week. Or, you know, the geeky things on a geekly basis. As always, I am your host Dom, aka Brother Dom. And once again, I am joined by the freshest, the bestest, the other cool thingsest, and I mean them sincerely. Would you like to tell the people what your name is?
Hi, it is I, Stephanie, the other co-host. I am Captain Steph on Twitter and the Snow Queer on Tumblr, and we've got some cool stuff, I think. You want to jump right in?
No, I don't want to jump right in. Until the people that can't see you, I mean, I can't either, about your awesome, cool haircut, because it looks awesome.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes. After many moons, I got my haircut yesterday because, holy shit, it was getting really shaggy and messy, and I couldn't do anything with it, and I was so frustrated, and I finally went and I got the whole side shaved off, and if I'm particularly in a geeky mood, I can do a little Sokka man bun thing with the short, with the long part on top.
Wait, so is it like a mohawk then?
It's shaved on both sides all the way around, both sides. But it hangs down on the one side. So if I pull it straight back instead of letting it hang over, then it's shaved on both sides.
Ooh, very nice. Okay. Well, that's good. That is good. Very nice. And Steph, you know why we're such good friends?
Why?
You give me segues. That's amazing. So speaking of things that are kind of shaggy and kind of a mess, how do you feel about that Transformers The Last Knight trailer?
Oh, Lord.
I'll jump in.
You jump in, because I'm just lost for words. It's not been long enough since I took it down. We only watched it right before we started recording, and I'm just like, let's say that it's the most absurdly gritty looking thing that I've watched since the Cars 3 trailer.
The Cars 3 trailer was on some stuff, but no, so this Transformers trailer, if I were to cut that trailer, it wouldn't have been 2 minutes and 26 seconds long. It would have been 40 seconds long. And we're just gonna spoil it because it's the trailer, right? So some stuff happens. You get to see Marky Mark, you get to see the Not Megan Fox person who fills her role, you know, the hot chick who's probably a little younger than she needs to be, but isn't actually, that Michael Bay's kind of like, ooh, hey, that character's in there, and then some robots and stuff. But at the end, Bumblebee is like running towards Optimus Prime, like in a fight, and then Optimus Prime apparently stabs him in the face, or like throws him down and like says sorry and stuff. And that's the most interesting thing I've seen in a Transformers movie since the concept came out. I'm not excited to see this movie. I don't care about this movie, but I do want to know what happens to, like, cause a fight, or if it's just, like, a fake-out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't. It's either going to be a fake-out, or it's going to be, like, some, like, for the greater good nonsense, where, like, Bumblebee has something, like, magic trapped inside of him that Optimus has to get out to save the world or something.
Yeah, something like that, and I don't know. After I saw, like, once I learned how little the Dinobots were in that one movie they were in, I was like, okay, I'm glad I didn't go see that. That sounds, they made them seem like a big part, and they were only in there for like 5 minutes, so this whole betrayal thing is probably Optimus Prime got mind controlled because he was a corpse for so long. Oh wait, not really, we're all good. Optimus Prime saved the day, but somehow be 5 minutes late to the final battle again.
Yeah, man, probably the weirdest, most grim thing about the trailer was like, there was, like, a long zoom on Optimus Prime's, like, rusted corpse, like, floating through space. That was
like, oddly morbid. This weird technology just is not technology right now. It's crazy. Well, you know. So, moving on. So, we talked about Cars 3 briefly because there's not a lot to talk about there. Let's talk about some more Cars for just a brief second. There's another Fast and Furious movie coming out. the 8th one.
Isn't it called The Fates of the Furious or something like that?
Like The Fate and the Furious or for The Fates of the Furious? I'm not sure which, but this is the first time I've seen a franchise get to this level of ridiculousness, and everyone's like, no, please, please be this ridiculous. I don't know. I think Fast and the Furious is probably the best franchise out in the world right now, if I'm being honest.
I've never actually seen a single movie in the series, but
Oh, really?
From what I've heard, it's consistently enjoyable.
So it's just schlock, and it never tries to be anything more than that, I don't think.
Which I appreciate in a movie.
Yeah, like, you have Vin Diesel being Vin Diesel, Ludacris being there, The Rock starts showing up in the latest few. There's not a ton of women in it, but women do get to do stuff, and I think it passed the Bechdel test, like, easily, mm-hmm. which is not the franchise you think was going to. But it's, they have a lot of different, like, it's a very multicultural movie. Like, yeah. lots of different races and stuff. And it consistently just busts the box offices around the world, so it's kind of like, oh, people of color don't sell at the box office. Actually, they do.
Yeah, have you seen the numbers?
Especially, was it Tokyo Drift, which is the most ridiculous one, in my opinion. Not because of the car stuff, but because of some white dude from the south of the United States gets in trouble, gets shipped off to Tokyo, and the first person he meets is Little Bow Wow. He isn't Little Bow Wow, but that's who plays him. And then they go, like, rise the ranks in the drift circuit, and it didn't even come off as like white savior complex. It was just like, oh, here's a white dude who's out of his depth, now he has to like save himself with the help of other people.
With people the help hate of that Lil movie. Bow Wow.
Lil Bow Wow just bought him tires, like they it was kind of like an automobile Doctor Strange. An Asian man taught a white man the secret art of their country, but it wasn't because they needed saved. Just like, I don't feel like doing this. In fact, it doesn't matter. But if you want to learn, I'll teach you so you can, I don't know, get your pride back or whatever. I recommend you watch at least two movies in the franchise. Preferably not the first two, so it makes even less sense. It's so enjoyable. So what's the next thing we got?
Let's see. Oh, how about that Spider-Man trailer? Speaking of things that are going to bust the box office and only have a few white people in them.
Surprisingly low amount of white people in the Spider-Man trailer.
Yeah, it's pretty much just RDJ and Tom Holland.
Yeah, and which is interesting. Like, RDJ just felt like obligatory, like, oh, we gotta get him in. Like, no, you don't, but if anything can save me from having to see Uncle Ben one more damn time, I don't mind what the circumstances are. And the only criticism I heard about it was that they just lifted Miles Morales' story, essentially, and just replace him with Peter Parker, which that's kind of shitty, and I don't agree with that. So that's kind of sad, but it's nice that, you know, I saw someone on Twitter say, and, you know, I don't know who said it, but they pointed out that someone asked them, you know, who is that black girl in the trailer? And they're like, which one? And I'm like,
hey.
That's incredible. It's never happened in a Marvel movie before.
Right? Yeah. Well, I don't know enough. I haven't seen enough of the story, or, like, read enough spoilers or seen the, examine the trailer closely enough to say whether or not it's lifting a Miles Morales storyline, so.
I think people base it off of his best friend, for the most part.
Okay.
Like, that's Miles' best friend, apparently. I don't read the comics, so they pulled a fast one on me.
Yeah, I've never read a Spider-Man comic of any, color.
I've not read any of them, and then once I found out Green Goblin became Superman, I was like, okay.
You mean Spider-Man? Enough.
What did I say?
Superman.
That never happened, you're right. Once Green Goblin became Spider-Man. Did Lex Luthor ever become Superman?
Probably. I know he was president for a while, I'm pretty sure. He thought about running for president, but he didn't think it would be powerful enough of a position.
I mean, he became the Flash for a minute, right? Like, in a story?
I have no idea.
I just remember this, like, this famous panel. I think I saw it on Tumblr. It was, he's like, they switch bodies with the Flash. Like, nah, I can finally figure out who the Flash
one,
is.
Yeah.
He takes a mask off. I have no idea who this is. And it's a funny concept to me. But yeah. As far as the nerdy stuff in the Spider-Man trailer, because I love my social justice, but besides that, I think it was a damn good trailer.
Yeah, it was. I'm just happy to see a Spider-Man movie that, like, not that the other Spider-Man movies were, like, grim or anything, but, like, I feel like they do have, this one really just has, like, the handle on the Peter Parker character.
Yeah, which, it felt fun, you know?
Yeah, it just felt like a good time.
Yeah, like, the fun didn't come just from the idea of Spider-Man being a spider person, you know? People are goofing around, and Tom Holland has good energy, and the cast seems to have chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, it's just kind of funny. He has the spider wings. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's neat.
So it seems like they're at least making it. I don't know. It seems like Marvel knows how to make this movie. So it's just kind of funny to me.
It's like you said, they just wanted to show Sony up.
That's what it feels like to me. It's like I feel that Marvel's hitting a level of pettiness that they're tired of all the people getting mad at their social justice stuff. So I don't think we're ever going to see a Star Wars movie starring a man ever again. Like, they're going to find a way to, that Han Solo won't star a man just to piss off nerds online. And I'm down with that too.
Maybe the star of the Han Solo movie will be Lando.
Isn't Donald Glover going to be Lando?
Yeah, he is.
So yeah, it's going to be about Lando. Just to piss off, I don't know. We need a derogatory name for people who are mad at social justice warriors, which are ironically enough are actually social justice warriors, but whatever. We could skip over that. I'm looking forward to the Spider-Man movie. I wish they wouldn't have pushed back Black Panther, but.
Yeah, for a second, I saw that they've already slotted in a date for Homecoming 2, which I don't know that would, I hope to hell is like a filler title because like it just sounds awkward. But
I mean, it's got to just be like Spider-Man prom, right?
yeah, that's
And
the
then
joke that I've seen.
Spider-Man graduation. Like, you can't, like,
But
I mean, that's terrible, but you got to go with it, you know?
and the well, and when I first saw the news, I didn't like the two didn't register for me, so I was like, oh wait, did they move the Spider-Man movie back to 2019? Is everything else shifting forward again? No. That is not what happened.
I'm kind of hoping this is how the Marvel universe takes a tone for a while. Like, we're gonna have Guardians around. Like, Guardians is coming out, Spider-Man's coming out. Like, I hope we get some levity in this universe. You know, it's I know some of the stuff has to be darker by necessity whenever Thanos decides to do some stuff.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, can we just be goofy like the way this?
Can we have some dang fun?
Yeah, like there's a if there's a walking, talking raccoon, I think we can laugh. You
Lord.
know, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so these next couple points, I don't know anything about these, so you're gonna have to lead the ring on these.
All
So
right.
tell me about this. I don't know. I'm gonna just hazard a guess and say there's some nonsense. Is this nonsense?
There's some nonsense. So, in keeping with our talk about trailers, one another thing that has debuted this week is the Sherlock Series 4 trailer, which I am loath to really even give much airtime to because I'm so fucking done with the BBC Sherlock series. Like, thinking about it just makes my soul like cringe a little because I'm so tired of everything that's involved in it. Like, Martin Freeman's an asshole, Benedict Cumberbatch is an asshole, Stephen Moffat's an asshole. Like,
Benedict Cumberbatch is a doctor, thank you very much.
he's a doctor asshole then.
Exactly. That's asshole PhD to you.
That's doctor asshole to you. Well, all right. So, but yeah, so the common criticism that has been lobbied at the Sherlock series from the end of series one, and it's British, so they call them series instead of seasons, is that it's so queerbaity. Like, they built this very codependent, like, relationship that has all of the hallmarks of a romantic relationship and is constantly referred to as a romantic relationship by Sherlock and John's like friends and family and co-workers, and yet is never actually acted upon. And the cast is kind of, from what I understand, well, I don't know what their opinion on it is like in a vacuum, but like the cast is constantly like being like called out on like on talk shows. Like, the host will be like, you know what would be a fun I adventure, to make fun of a fanfic by reading it out to the cast. And like the showrunner Stephen Moffat, who's like king douchebag, finally went on record at Comic-Con this year and said, I said John Locke, the ship of Sherlock and John, is never going to become a canon. It's, like, it trivializes the relationship. This, the other thing, and yet there are still people out there who believe that Moffat is just a liar. That's like his MO, is that he lies about things. That there's a plot. That there's going to be some kind of plot twist where John and Sherlock finally get together, and like.
Yeah, that would take him being like a liar and a manipulator on the level of like Hideo Kojima, but he's not that.
He's
So
not. He's just an
people are
asshole.
delusional.
Yeah, and so getting to the point of the trailer, and I've already talked more about this than I feel it deserves my my anger at this point, but in the trailer, at the end of Series 3, it was revealed that in some way, despite the fact that we literally see him shoot himself in the mouth on screen, in the second season, Moriarty has returned, and Sherlock dun, has to dun, deal dun. With him. Yeah, dun dun dun. And this trailer for Season 4, we see that Sherlock is being challenged, that he has to share some horrible secret with his closest friend or something. And at the very end of the trailer, he's standing in a room with, I think it's with John, and I think it's his brother. And he looks at the camera and he says, "I love you." Like, that's like the horrible secret that he's hiding. And it's like, you couldn't even try to not queer bait for 45 seconds. 45 seconds.
It's so weird to try to, as a dude, I'm a dude, right?
Yeah, so far as I know.
That's how I identify. And it's interesting seeing things that are considered queer baiting, right? So, it's funny because I always think about, if my life was on camera, what would people think about how me and my friends act? and the things that we say and do. And queer baiting is definitely a big thing. But I wonder how much of it is, hey, sometimes dudes do really weird stuff. Like, straight dudes, I mean. Mm-hmm. I've never had these kind of... Well, no. I'm not even going to say that. No, it's dudes of all sexualities. Just for some reason, acting attracted to your friends is hilarious. I have queer friends, and we've been like, oh man, why don't we all just get naked real quick, and we're not going to do that. I'm like, wait a minute, are we making fun of gayness? But aren't some of us gay and queer and bi? It's like, yeah, so what are we doing here? And I always just wonder about how much of this is guys being guys in a weird way, and how much of it's like intentional queer baiting. And I have no answer, because I have not watched too many things with queer baiting other than Adventure Time, but I think they were locked out and they weren't queer baiting by choice.
Yeah, well, I think that about the earlier seasons of Adventure Time. The later seasons, like once they were running concurrently with Steven Universe, then I give them no more passes. Well, but yeah, the earlier ones, I feel like they were definitely locked out. But Sherlock, I feel like, is just 100% Moffat knows what keeps people watching the show. And it pisses me off too, because his co-writer, who also plays Sherlock's brother in the show, is gay. So it's like, man, are you just like so like, you have your blinders on so hard that you don't care? Like, what's the deal? Like,
that is an interesting concept. I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know why you would do that. It seems counterproductive to do and not a lot of fun.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on there.
F that.
But yeah, so screw the Sherlock trailer.
Yeah, we talked too much about Sherlock. It doesn't deserve that.
No, yeah, I'm already hating my future self for probably watching it.
When's it come out?
I have no idea.
I'll help you not watch it.
Thank you.
Let's podcast instead.
Okay.
That's what friends don't let friends watch Sherlock. From the BBC.
True words.
You know why my life's awful, Steph?
Why?
It's not going to be any of the actual reasons that life might be
bad. I was going to say.
So, my first exposure to the acronym BBC was not the British Broadcasting Company,
mm-hmm.
Because I was a teenage boy in southwestern Pennsylvania. So that acronym meant something else to us. And someone's like, oh, I'm going to watch the BBC later tonight. And I'm like, you're going to do what? And they're like, yeah, I like Doctor Who. I'm like, what's that to do with, you know, BBC? And they're like, it's a channel. And I was like, oh, what channel? And like, oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. It was like a weird misunderstanding, and I looked like the ignorant person because I went to public school. So
I didn't realize the BBC was a private school thing.
I don't know. I think you just need more than basic cable to get the BBC.
True. Yeah, it's like a 114. It's not that it's a private
school
thing. Yeah.
It's just that, like, I assume public school always makes dirty jokes about stuff, and that's why my quicker... Because I was aware of the BBC as a network. I just wouldn't... That would have never been my first thought of what it meant. So,
Gotcha.
Tucking and rolling out of that awkwardness. Hairspray Live. I didn't watch it, but I watched you guys on the blog thread talk about it. What's going on?
Hairspray Live was disappointing.
Yeah, I know. I was so disappointed. I didn't even watch it.
I know you're such a musical theater guy. You're very discerning tastes about.
I have tastes about musical theater.
Is it that you don't like most of it?
No, that's not it. No, I just don't like Rent very much as a story. I like the performance of Rent. I like Rent as a musical. I just hate the story. And Les Mis, I've only seen the movie. I did see the theater production once, but I didn't get to hear it because people sang over it. But tell me about Hairspray, since I don't have any experience with that.
All right, so tell about the live show in particular, about Hairspray in general, or...
Tell me about the live show, because I care about what my friends care about, but to be quite honest, I really don't care too much about Hairspray.
Yeah, well, I mean, Hairspray is a very enjoyable musical. It's got a lot... It's one of those things that's very progressive on its face. It has, a fat protagonist who's, completely happy with how she looks, who gets, the cute guy, shows up the, like the bitchy, fellow high schooler on the dance show. Like, it has a racism is bad moral, it's set in Baltimore in the early 1960s.
Oh. Yikes.
Yeah. But so, this was just a weird production altogether. I felt like a lot of the actors were phoning it in. The main character, her name is Tracy. The girl who played Tracy was just not... She was okay. She wasn't great. The girl who played Amber, who's her... who's the bitchy rival, wasn't very mean in this. And one of... she's a stereotypical, Regina George mean girl.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends was saying that she was a Disney Channel girl and she probably has never been expected to play anything but, pleasant and,
milquetoast?
Yeah, milquetoast in anything.
Yes,
before.
Use that in actual English.
There you go.
Yeah.
But she was just, very... It was she wasn't leaning into the meanness. She was saying the lines, but there was no, corresponding expression on her face or anything like that. The guy who played Link, who's, the dreamboat, star that Tracy falls in love with, was not doing it for me. Ariana Grande plays her best friend, which is, a stereotypically ditzy kind of role. Tracy's best friend, Penny.
So she was just playing Cat.
Exactly. She was literally just playing Cat again, except she was really terribly mic'd, so you couldn't hear anything she was saying. She was whispering around everyone else. And there were three big musical theater stars were in the show, plus Derek Huff from, I think he's from Dancing with the Stars. He played the host of the dancing show that Tracy gets on. Three big musical theater stars were Harvey Fierstein, who plays the drag role of Tracy's mom. He was the original Edna in the original cast when it was on Broadway. And he's, super big name theater person.
Okay.
He was good. He wasn't great, but he was good. Better than the rest of the people.
Better than the rest.
Yeah, Kristen Chenoweth, who was the original Glinda on Broadway in Wicked, who has, she has a very recognizable voice. Harvey and Kristen actually both have really recognizable voices. Harvey has, a very deadpan smoker, Brooklyn Jewish voice. And Kristen has, a very peppy, it's her natural voice, but it sounds like she's on helium kind of thing.
Oh. I should look up these actors and actresses.
You should. You would probably... I don't know. I don't want to say... No, I want to say you'd probably recognize them, but, you would remember them in the future.
Steph, I know everything. Of course I would know them if I saw them. I don't know everything. I don't know why I said that.
But, so, Kristen Chenoweth plays the Amber's mom, who's like a super stage mom, and she's the one of the producers on the dancing show, and she's also super bitchy and terrible. And like Kristen actually got into that and did some, like, pulled out some pretty good performances, but again, it was like, it was really good compared to the rest of the cast, but not great.
Okay.
And the only, like, really stellar performance that I, of the whole night, was Jennifer Hudson, plays Motorbath Maybell, who's the host of the dancing show when they have their once monthly Negro Day. Because it's...
Once... Oh, gosh.
Because, and, like, the whole plot of the musical is that they want, is that Tracy wants the show to be integrated, and, like, people want the show to be integrated. And... she wants every day to be Negro Day. Is an actual quote.
And I'm glad I didn't watch this. Because it would have just been... There's a different kind of mad between people that are out to get you and people whose hearts are in the right place. But it's just like,
And I've never actually seen a production where, like, when she delivers that line, the black people in the room... give her a look like, you can't say it that way.
I mean, there's so many things.
But they actually did it in this one. Like, the guy who she says it to is like,
that's their appropriate response. It's like, well, you didn't say a word that's on a banned word list, but you said something that was pretty stupid. So I hope your foot tastes good, because it's in your mouth.
Jennifer Hudson plays Motorbath Maybell, and she has two, like, very, showstopper songs in the show. One of them is called I Know Where I've Been, which is, like, a kind of reflective gospel-y number, like, that's kind of about, like, the struggle of the civil rights movement that's always very moving. And the other one is called Big Blonde and Beautiful, which is more about, like, she's talking to Edna, Tracy's mom, who's also... like, both characters are supposed to be, like, big, like, fat women. And she's talking to Edna and, like, saying, like, love yourself, like, enjoy being big, blonde, and beautiful. Like, both of us like to eat and we're not ashamed of it. And, like, Jennifer Hudson did a really great job with the song, but it was a very strange...
She's not big anymore,
yeah,
right?
It was a very disconcerting, like, image to see Jennifer Hudson, who has not been a big woman for several years. Like, they just... like, one of my friends actually said, I think they just watched her in Dreamgirls and were like, yeah, she can do it. Like, because she was big in Dreamgirls. Now she's maybe a size 8. Like, it was very...
That means nothing. That means nothing to me. I don't know sizes. That she could be large or tiny. I see what you're saying, though.
But
I'm
yeah.
Just being that guy. Well, I mean, it sounds watchable, but not, like, returnable, you know?
Yeah, like, I don't feel bad that I watched it. Like, it's actually the first of the, like, live musicals that I've sat through the whole thing of, as opposed to, like, it being on in the room, or I TiVo'd it and then never went back and watched it, so.
I mean, like you said, I'm not a huge fan of musical theater. Like, I appreciate it when I see something that's I'm down with, but, I am not clamoring for more musicals on TV for my benefit, but I want there to be more, because I think that's a really good thing.
Definitely.
Like, musicals, plays, like, that kind of art, I think, is tricky to get into. So I hope they continue to do stuff like this. I mean, I like people enjoying art. I don't have to, as long as it's not, like, you know, offensive or problematic or painful art, I think people should enjoy more art. So, I hope they keep doing stuff like this, whether or not they're 10s or 8s even, keep doing it. I think it's good for culture, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Like, that's always been a criticism, like you said, of musical theater, is that it is not accessible because of ticket prices. Like, even regular shows that aren't Hamilton are not super accessible because of ticket prices, so...
Yeah, I mean, and there's, like, not a lot of theaters you can go to. I feel like, we have a place in Pittsburgh, but there's not a whole lot of... shows there that people know about. I mean, obviously they're probably busy at least 3 or 4 days out the week, but I don't know anything about that and what's going to bring me in. But there was a chance I would have watched Hairspray for, like, the celebrity names. I mean, I didn't, because I don't really watch a lot of TV, just because the TV cable box is downstairs, and I'm lazy and don't live in my room. It's not an elitist thing, but, you know, I hope that's a good thing. I hope people keep doing that.
Definitely.
So, well, you know, speaking of musicals, we have some music for you all, and we have a break coming up. So, yeah, we're good for the break, Steph?
I think so. I think we've talked a lot for our usual first section, so.
We'll be quick, you know. The listeners are, we have loyal fans, hopefully, so hopefully they're liking this. And we'll see you guys after the break. Welcome back to the show. Hope you like that music. Per the usual, it'll be in the show notes. So go support these artists. Pick up their stuff. If it's free, leave some nice comments. If it costs money, give it a buy. You know, artists gotta eat. So speaking of music, there was a little musical interlude this past week. So it was a big old Nintendo Day on the Jimmy Fallon program. So, you know, there's some things to be said about Jimmy Fallon. He has enabled orange people in the past, but we can look by that for the sake of this comment. It was a big Nintendo Day. They debuted the Nintendo Switch. Ooh. Steph, did you see any of that stuff?
Not a single second of it.
Neither did I, and I mean to watch it, but they also did some Mario Run, the iPhone app that's coming out. It's an infinite run with Mario, but they showed the Switch, and I need to watch that. I hope it was good, but the thing that I saw, which was just adorable, I think is the word, Shigeru Miyamoto, you know, Mr. Nintendo himself, the guy that made Mario, Pikmin, pretty much the genius guy behind Nintendo. He's the guy. Like, if you see this guy, I want to shake your hand or whatever is custom in the culture that you're observing, I would do that. But he played the Mario theme on guitar with The Roots, who is Jimmy Fallon's house band. I mean, that's what they do now. They are a hip-hop band, first and foremost, but, you know, they do that now. So he played the Super Mario theme with them, and it was pretty cool. Just a nice little internet blow-up thing. It was cool to see. Which is funny that probably didn't go as viral as it could have, because I don't think the common person is going to know who Miyamoto is or care.
Yeah. I think if you... Even if you're, like, a regular, like, ground-level consumer of Nintendo games, you might not know.
Right. Like, unless you are the kind of person who would listen to podcasts or, like, do research on games, I don't think you would know.
Yeah, like, follows game news.
Yeah. But either way, very cool thing, very monumental. He might be at the Olympics, huh?
Shigeru? Wasn't he in the like, announcement, or was that Shinzo Abe coming out of a... I think it was the Prime Minister.
Yeah, it wasn't Miyamoto, but
that they had Mario him coming out of, like, there. A Mario pipe.
Yeah, that wasn't Miyamoto, but the fact that his guy is going to be, like, the mascot for the Olympics, potentially...
Yeah.
I hope America lasts that long to get to those Olympics and we get to see it on TV. Like, I'd like to not be, like, in a camp or some, like, kind of jail cell somewhere. Not to be insensitive to people, but, like, you know, I hope I get to see those Olympics, because it's going to be... Japan's that kind of place where they're like, hey, don't come here expecting, like, the weird stuff you see in anime. And that's fair. They are Japanese people. They're, like,
a real country, yeah.
It's a real country. However, they are the only country, I think, that does weird stuff better than us in Scotland, because Scotland's up there, too.
Germany does some weird stuff. Have you ever seen the map of furries per square mile in Germany?
I don't need to, because we have the biggest furry convention in the world in my state, but whatever.
Yeah, you can't actually see Germany under all of the pins.
That's a hilarious... Well...
You learned something.
Today I learned a thing. But I feel like Japan isn't more weird than other countries, but they seem to be willing to embrace it on a national stage a little bit more.
That's fair.
Like, Like, Pikachu was on one of their planes for, like, the World Cup, I think.
Yeah, I flew in a Pokemon plane when I was in Japan once.
Yeah, like, how come we don't have more Mickey Mouse or, like, what's our, do we have a country thing? Like, why don't we have a picture of a gun on the side of an airplane? Like, like I don't love the gun fetishism of the United States, but the fact that we won't even embrace it says more about us than the actual fetishization of it. Like, what if you're just flying and you see, like, not like a plane that is a gun, but it has like a Glock or something on the side. People are like, oh, here come the Americans. Like, yeah.
Try to hijack this. I've got a fucking AK-47 on the side of my plane.
Yeah. Like, why don't we just embrace it? If we're going to be the United States that we are, why can't we all just as a country at least either change it or embrace it? I don't like this middle ground stuff. And I'm half joking here. I'm going on a rant. Why don't we just embrace the country that we are if we're not going to change it? Anyway. Or we could put, like, Captain America. I don't know. That's my whole thing. Japan seems to like the image that they have of their country in their public persona. So I hope Miyamoto shows up at the Olympics.
In fairness, it's pretty, like, it's a profitable and generally unassuming / uninsulting national image. Like, the, like, cute anime things and, like...
That's fair, but we have Mickey Mouse, like, and Bugs Bunny. Or SpongeBob, even. I don't know.
Put Patrick on the side of a plane. That's a plane I want to fly in.
No, this is Patrick.
Is this U.S. Airways?
No, this is Patrick. Is this U.S. Airways? No, this is Patrick. That's Showtime. Speaking of Japanese things that we appreciate over here in America... there's a game called Indivisible coming out in the future. I'm not sure if it's next year or the year after, but it's a game from Lab Zero, the creators of Skullgirls, who are very, very good at making very tight and mechanically strong video games. They're making an RPG with beautiful art that might sometimes be a little bit too suggestive. The art in this game doesn't seem to be, from what I can tell, but they're getting an intro from Studio Trigger, another studio that is known to make beautiful but suggestive artwork. They used to be Gainax, but now they made, like, Kill la Kill, Space Patrol Luluco, and stuff like that. So, yeah. So, we have another anime topic that I have no expertise in. So, would you like to be the speaker of honor here?
Yeah, sure. So, if you've been on the internet at all in the last week, you may have heard of a show called Yuri on Ice. It's been kind of breaking ground in terms of anime, like, quote-unquote sports anime lately, because it's gone completely past queer baiting into actually having, like, a meaningful, emotional, and romantic gay relationship between the two male leads, which usually in sports anime you just see them, like, being very homoerotic and being in homoerotic situations but never actually being gay.
To be fair, I played football and it is extremely homoerotic without anyone actually kissing. That's an actual fact. I can attest to that.
Fair, but no one was writing your script for football. This is writers making intentional choices.
And right, go ahead.
So
go ahead.
They
just point it out.
It's fair. I keyed. But anyway, so. People have been just kind of, like, it's sad that it's gotten to the point that like, fandom continues to be just, like, shocked and have their minds blown every time something, like, exciting and new and even more gay than the previous episode happens. but we're still at such a point in queer representation that it's like, oh my god, this couple, they love each other. And neither of them dies, and their friends don't disapprove, and, like, no one's mean, and it's like, oh, this is such a relief to watch. It's so sweet and adorable. And the most recent episode,
Spoiler alert,
buckle up if you haven't seen Yuri on Ice episode 10 yet, and if you have been watching the show and you haven't, please go watch it immediately. I'll be here when you get back.
Yeah, actually, go do that right now.
Well, first of all, our two favorite skater gays got engaged, which is delightful.
He was the skater gay, he said.
said see you later, bae.
I guess.
I guess, it rhymes.
That's gotta what, do they still do, sorry, do they still do AMV competitions at anime conventions?
I think so.
If somebody doesn't freaking do Skater Boy to Yuri on Ice, an anime that I've never seen, I'll be personally offended. But go on, girl.
But we also got the exciting reveal at the end of the episode that kind of, like, reframed the entire series and made me want to go back and rewatch it again from this perspective. We found out that Yuri and Victor, the two main guys, had actually met a year previous to the events of the series as it currently stands, and after Yuri had suffered, like, a crushing defeat at a skating competition, and he got really, really drunk at a party and was, like, dancing and flirting and, like, challenging people to breakdance competitions and, like, being, like, the life of the party, and at the end of it, he, like, is drunkenly coming on to Victor and asks him to be his coach, which completely, like, throws the entire series into a different light, because in the beginning of the first episode, Victor just kind of, like, he sees Yuri skate one of his routines, and he shows up out of nowhere, like, with very little, like, push, I guess. He just kind of shows up and is like, hey, like, I'm gonna be your coach now, and Yuri's like, the fuck? Like, what's this guy doing here? Why is he hitting on me? Like, what is happening? And so when it comes out in this episode that Yuri has no memory of the party, Victor's reaction is priceless, because you suddenly realize that this whole time he thought Yuri remembered him and was just being weird about it. And instead he's come off as, like, a really, like, kind of flirt, like, over flirtatious, like, throwing himself at Yuri this whole time, because if Yuri remembered the party, then
this wouldn't be so
weird. So it was just, like, it was a really fun episode. The writer actually, like, the creator did the ending theme. They had a different ending theme than usual, and it was all photos of the party.
I've seen that.
Yeah, you've seen those. Like,
what the hell does it have to do with anything? This is weird.
Yeah. So it was just, like, an extra cute episode, and I'm still, there are two episodes left before the series is over, and, like, in previous episodes, they still haven't got to the final that Yuri has been working towards competing in, so I'm not sure what's going to happen, whether that's going to last two episodes, or if there's going to be just, like, for the other episodes, for his semifinals and stuff, it's only been one episode for the whole competition, so wondering if this next episode will be the Grand Prix final, and then the last episode is going to be, like, the gayest anime wedding, or what is going to happen, but I'm looking forward to it.
That sounds cool. Yeah. That's the first time I've ever, so you just made the show sound appealing outside of the non-queer baitiness, mm-hmm. And I have not seen in any tweets or tumbles or posts if anyone's anything good about it other than it's not queer baiting, and I was like, that's good.
But what else? Watch it?
Because, not saying that's not important, but we all can admit that, oh god, the bar is that low.
Yeah.
And apparently they didn't just clear the bar, they, like, pirouetted over the bar.
They did a quad quad lutz over the bar.
Quad. Excuse but no, that's, see, I was just saying quad's impressive. I was happy with triple. Well, that sounds interesting. It's like something I might want to check out.
I recommend it. And I mean, like, on the other flip side of things, at the end of the day, it's a 12-episode anime, so it's going to take, if like
6 hours,
yeah, like, a dedicated afternoon to watch.
Oh, damn it. Now my interest is unpeaked again. That sounds suspiciously like work. Oh, man. Well, yeah, that sounds decent. I'm going to have to check it out. Like, let me know if it ends all right.
No, we'll check it out. I'm sure you'll hear about it from either me or Tumblr.
Oh, I don't have a choice.
Yeah. You have a choice. You can install Tumblr Savior if you don't want to look.
What even is that? What is that?
It's an extension. It's like a browser extension for Tumblr where you can put in, like, certain words so you don't have to see them, like, come up on your dash. Like, if people, like, tag something.
You have faith in people to tag their posts.
The Yuri and Ice people have been pretty good about tagging. Other stuff, not so much. But, like, okay. I've had Supernatural blacklisted for years, and I don't see much on my dash, so either I'm following the right people, or...
I think people gave up on it. I'll see it either. Look, I was just confused. I was throwing stones from a glass house. I don't know. If someone knows how to break the mold with Splatoon, Sonic, or Overwatch, or even Steven Universe, I'm gonna get real dumb, but I tend to be more QE, because I'm like, I'm not gonna be here in a couple days, and I want people to think I'm still alive, so. No, it's, I'm glad people are happy. I was just confused, I'm like, what the hell happened?
The skater gays got engaged, that's what happened.
That's good.
But anyway, we've got one more thing to talk about, and it is,
some old bullshit.
It's similarly progressively minded, if we want to have some kind of segue.
Yeah, so Adult Swim is known for being weird as hell, right? And experimental. That, you know, they seem to be a company really with their heart in the right place that wants to push the envelope, but never in malice, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The kind of company that would call out political correctness as a principle, but not actually try to be politically incorrect, more so than just showing episodes of Family Guy. Like, their heart's not in a bad place, even if they might, you know, they're kind of middle school-y, like, ooh, I just said a cuss word, but here's some deep thought behind that, like, in Rick and Morty, you're like, I came for the butt jokes, and the fart jokes, and you just gave me existential crisis, like, yeah, that's, yeah, duh, and now here's some Dragon Ball Z on Saturdays, but they cut ties with a controversial alt-right show called Million Dollar Extreme. Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't watched it a lot. I don't really know what it is, but the guy on Twitter is like, he calls like there's like shows tweets of him calling Lena Dunham like a fat pig, which is, I'm not here to defend Lena Dunham, but this guy's being a sexist, which I won't condone.
Let's be mean to Lena Dunham about who she is as a person, not what she looks like.
Yeah, there's totally, if you want to drag Lena Dunham, you can do that without being a misogynist. It's pretty easy. And then he posted he was tired of seeing burkas in video games, which is such a weird thing to say.
Especially because there's a lot.
Like, he's playing some game that I don't even know what it is. There's a picture of it. It comes on at a weird time of day. Yeah, Saturdays at 12:15 a.m. So a time where not a lot of people are watching TV, but they're like, you know what? We gotta cut ties with this guy, because they were trying to be, like, open-minded and, like, hey, we'll give the left and the right time. But, like, you know what? People are getting mad at us, and this isn't productive. It's not worth it. You know?
Yeah, some guy walk, like, cut all ties with Adult Swim over it? I couldn't figure out what he was affiliated with.
He was a writer of a show. Brandon some directors. Something. Was it Brandon Small?
Maybe.
If it was Brendan Small, he made Home Movies and Metalocalypse. Like, he's a big deal. I don't know if it was him. But the show got relatively high ratings, but the Adult Swim's like, you know what? We have morals, so peace out, douchebag. So congrats to Adult Swim for doing the right thing, providing good content.
Hopefully their next step will be admitting that women can write jokes.
You know what? I don't know what they were thinking on that. That was... was that them that said that, or was that the Rick and Morty writers that said that?
No, they're like CEO, like, or whoever's in charge of their programming, Mike something or other, was...
Can I play devil's advocate, which is really going to bury him more than...
He didn't say... Let me hand you a fedora.
No. This doesn't help him. From what I remember, he said something far more ignorant. He didn't... If I recall... He may have said women don't know the right jokes, but what he said is women cause conflict in the writer's room.
Oh, that was what it was. Which,
the problem with that is, and that's why it's more sinister, why it's not a fedora, it's actually a baseball cap. The problem is women don't want you to be shitty to them, and I think the conflict was, don't be a douchebag to my gender. That's so, you know, defending what he said, but it's not like if he said something better.
Yeah.
Which is something I've been trying to do on the internet more, is like...
Promoting real facts.
Yeah, because, you know, it's easy to write people off as saying a misogynistic thing, because what he said was still misogynistic, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But just saying he said women can't write jokes kind of puts him in a situation where he can be like, I didn't say that, and he can technically be right, but he still did something bad, and it's a little bit harder to parse out why that was bad, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like people make the joke in Overwatch that Symmetra is Indian tech support, and the reason that's bad is because they're being shitty, because technically she's a support character, that's her class, and she's mm-hmm. Indian, and mm-hmm. she's a technology. Everything you said was fine, but you were being, like, you were being that guy.
Yeah, and you were just pointing out three unrelated facts. You were drawing on, an existing stereotype.
Yeah, so it's like, we gotta point out what you said, like, the specific reason, or else you're gonna, like, get mad at me. You're gonna call me a liberal elite for calling you out for some bullshit, even though you were doing some bullshit. It's been a hard week, Steph.
Yeah.
But you know what's not hard?
What's not hard?
Listening to music, because music is amazing and it's fun and it's great. So you are hearing some music right now, and we'll be back after this little break. Please enjoy the music and please let us know if you're liking it. And see ya.
See you soon. That last little bit of music for this week. As always, all the info is in the show notes. And it's time for our last little segment of the week, which, as usual, is cool stuff we got this week. And Tom,
cool stuff we got.
Dom, did you get any cool stuff this week?
Yes.
What cool thing did you get?
Rude. None of your business. No, I'm joking. What a world we live in. I got a speaker, and not like a person doing a talk at an event, but like a Bluetooth wireless speaker. It's from Skullcandy.
That's hopefully what you meant when, I feel like that was implied when you said you got a speaker.
Well, you know, I don't want to mislead people. It's it's a Bluetooth speaker from Skullcandy. It's called the Barricade Mini. Apparently there's like three or four sizes of it. Like there's large, giant ones. Like kind of boombox size, but it's a waterproof IPX5 water resistant, so it can get pretty wet.
So is IPX the measure of its water resistance?
Yeah, like I believe the iPhone, what's the newest iPhone, 7 or 8?
7.
Okay, like the iPhone 7, and I want to say the Samsung Note 7 before it blew up, were both IP6, so like okay. They could be submerged. This can't get submerged, but it can get, like, pretty... It can be in rain, I think, the way okay. The casing's built. It's impact resistant, so you can drop it a little bit. Like, it's built for going on hikes and stuff. There's a lot of, like, nature stuff on the box.
Oh, neat.
Like, pictures. 6 hours of life. So it's pretty good. I want to use it for, like, a Lucio cosplay, but, you know, whenever I do cosplay, often with Steph, we like to have music.
True.
At least one of the ones we've done as groups. Not couples, as people seem to think, but as groups. You jerks.
We're not married.
Maybe if we would not do the Hamilton wife-husband combo, but do groups, though, like Splatoon groups.
Even if I cosplayed someone else from Hamilton, it would probably be Lawrence, and people would still think we were going out.
There's a better chance of that. There's a better chance, I don't know. There's a better chance of, like, if I saw someone dressed as Hamilton and Eliza and Hamilton and Lawrence, I'd have more faith that the Hamilton and Lawrence were doing the banging than the Hamilton and Eliza. Because that, especially since you're a woman, so, like, you being Eliza could be out of necessity. Yeah, you know, I have great eyes. But you being Lawrence would be like, oh no, those two are doing it. But, like, for Hamilton, we like to play the Hamilton soundtrack. For Splatoon, we like to play, like, Splatoon and Jet Set Radio music. And if we ever get an Overwatch group, A, we're not doing a couple, so there won't be Lucio Diva, at least from us. I'll probably play like Lucio's songs and stuff like that. So it's a nice little, it's solid. It's about what, like 4x4, 3x3. But it has some bass, it's powerful. It's a good little speaker. So thanks for asking, Steph. You are quite the friend and co-host.
I try.
It's working. You're doing it. You're killing the game. Speaking of killing the game, you get any cool stuff this week?
Yeah, actually, I did. I got a cool thing, and it actually came on the heels of us recording last week, because we recorded on
Nice.
Monday last week, and I actually got it before we recorded, but I didn't open it until after, so it's unofficially something I got this week for this episode.
I mean, we quarter late, that's fair.
Yeah, so what I got this week is a book with me in it. And by me, I mean a piece that I wrote for the a collection of non-traditional essays called Outside In Boldly Goes, which is, I don't know the exact number, but it was, I think, over 100 original pieces based on one for each episode of the Kirk-centric Star Trek series. So the original series, the animated series, and I think the movies.
Oh, that's pretty cool. You're a published author.
Yeah, this is the second time. I also have an essay in a collection of books, or a collection of essays, some personal, some academic, about Doctor Who and race.
Oh, okay.
Cleverly
I'll say
titled Doctor Who and Race.
Subversive. I was gonna ask, I thought you were published before, and I didn't want to like act like this was an old thing. So is this new or?
It's a kind of new. It came out. It just recently came out. Like, I pre-ordered it. And getting it was like last week was when it actually, like, the book was released. But I wrote this
Oh.
essay like 2 years ago, and like it was very strange. Like, when I say non-traditional essay, I mean like and I haven't flipped through the book to see what the rest of them are like. But so I wrote this essay about it's called the Lorelei Complex or the Lorelei Code or Lorelei Signal is the name of the episode, Lorelei Signal. And it's an episode about where the Enterprise responds to a signal from a planet that's populated by women who are kind of like the stereotypical siren women who are like preying on men who come past. And it's a really awesome episode because it's the only episode in the entire Kirk-centric series where Uhura gets the con. And she has to lead a rescue mission to go rescue the men of the Enterprise away team from these women who have taken them hostage. So it's like
It's a pretty famous episode.
this is the animated series, so like it's not like a famous episode, but it was one of my favorites. And it was the one, like, when the guy who like edited the book got in touch with me, I knew it was the one that I wanted to write about. So I wrote this like kind of just like an essay about the episode and how it kind of turned the siren trope on its head a little bit, because it did. And I sent it to this guy, and he said, "This is not remotely what I'm looking for in this book." Like, 'cause apparently, like the other, like, 'cause he's done this series before for, I think, Doctor Who,
Okay.
and like something like this essay collection. And it's not so much essays as it is like someone comes up with recipe cards that, or like a recipe that somehow comments on the episode, or like someone makes like trading cards or something like completely
Super non-conventional.
super non-conventional. And so I ended up rewriting my essay, and the remaining pieces of my essay, the traditional essay, can be seen on Lady Geek Girl in a post about the siren trope as it related to an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode and this Star Trek episode. But
Okay, we'll link in the comments.
what ended up coming out in the book was a one-way dialogue between me and my cat playing a drinking game to the episode, where I sit down to watch the episode assuming that it's going to hit all of the standard, like, tropey expectations of something that has like a siren in it, which is like the man gets blamed for being like roofied with whatever date rape magic the siren like plays on him. Like, the women are jealous instead of feeling bad for the guy, like this, that, and the other thing. Like, there's a whole list of standard tropes that go along with that
Right.
idea. And so the idea is that I'm sitting down with my cat to play this drinking game, and talking to her the whole time, and then getting more and more frustrated as the episode continues that none of the that I'm not getting to drink because none of the rules are being met. And so then I had to, and at the end I sit down to rewrite my drinking game and start over. So that's kind of, and I've sent that to this guy, and he was like, "Oh yeah, this is perfect, just what I'm looking for. Thank you."
What a weird ass book.
So I haven't looked at the rest of the sections yet, but I'm very intrigued by what there could be.
That is very interesting too. I mean, because it's still critique. That's super interesting.
It was very, very strange, but yeah, it was cool. It's cool that I have another book out, and it's called Outside In Boldly Goes, and you can get it from ATB Publishing, which is a very tiny publisher, but so I encourage you to support them so they can keep publishing weird things like that thing that I wrote.
Is there it does have an online storefront?
Yeah, they have a website that you can order the book from, so we can find a link to that.
Yeah, drop that link for me. I'll make sure to put it in the show notes.
And I'll make a send of money off of it, because there are so many contributors. The same thing we did for the Doctor Who and Race book, because there are so many contributors. All of our proceeds from the book, instead of being split 1,000 ways, are all just going to, I think, an AIDS research charity.
Hear that? It's for a good cause, too. So
yeah, you know. So buy this weird Star Trek book for a good cause.
Yeah, if you're looking for some after the New Year holiday gifts, it might be the thing you need.
It's true. So cool. Yeah, speaking of gifts, that's the only other thing I got this week.
People gave you gifts already?
No, I mean, I bought gifts.
No, I was being that guy.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, no, my gift to myself this week was my haircut, because I desperately needed it. But I mean, my gift to others rocking this week, it, dog. which they will not actually receive until Christmas, was the Christmas presents I got. I hope you like it. I got your present today, so.
Oh, thanks. Yours is either, I don't know if I got it or if it's coming. I can't remember. I'm very bad with understanding. I'll have to do a search, but you know, you gotta look out for your friends and get them stuff.
Yeah, friendship doesn't mean anything unless you can prove it with physical gifts.
Yeah, we haven't been podcasting for 7 months and been friends for a few years or anything, but unless I give you some tangible item around the 25th of December, we're not actually friends anymore.
Basically. Twice a year. Once in June on my birthday, and once in December at Christmas.
Yo, screw your birthday, though. Screw birthdays.
Yeah, we don't really need birthdays anymore. It's been...
It's wild.
We're getting old enough that...
Nah, screw that. It's funny to think about. You were here for your birthday, and then left to New York, and then our friend and I had our birthdays, the week later. And it's weird to think about how close they are, and then you weren't here.
I was so far away.
It felt like it was so far of a difference of time, but it was 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Hold on. You just moved this year, right?
Yeah, I've only been gone for 6 months.
Oh, man. It's been a long time. Wow. This has been a long 6 months. This has been the longest 6 months of my life. It's gone fast, but it feels like it's been so long. That's good, right? That means, you know, I'm living a full life.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez. Anyway, well, I think it's everything, right? I think we knocked it out fairly quick, right?
Yeah, I think we covered it all.
I don't think we missed anything.
As quick as we could with that many things to talk about.
Hey, we're doing pretty good. It's, we have some long character reveals coming up. Hope you all liked last week's episode with Chevy Ray of Eichenfell. He's a pretty cool guy. It's a fun episode to listen to. That's the curse of editing, is when the episode's fun to listen to, you end up listening to it again. But it's up there, so please go check that out.
Yeah, that was definitely a fun one to record.
And then we have, I think this week is Maddie Myers, I believe.
I think that's true.
And this is a really fun one, too. Maddie's really fun. So
yeah, she's cool.
And no shade to any of our previous guests. I think you and I are just getting much better at this. So it's... I think we're being more welcoming to our guests and being able to bounce off them a little bit more. So
yeah, just better at being hosts.
Yeah. So, you know, I think we're having a good time with this. People seem to have people enjoy themselves on our show. So if you know any people that should be on our show or we should try to interview, give us a shout out, particularly people of color, women, queer people, marginalized people.
Yeah, definitely. Want to amplify voices.
And yeah, so I think we should kick the social media business. Has it been what? I'm on the Geekly, you're on the character? Do we want to do it that way?
Sure.
Go for it. Let's knock out some social media stuff. And then I'm going to keep drinking some beer. So if you like the way that we sound and like, huh, I wonder what they sound like in text, congratulations that you can hear text. But you can find me at Brother Dom anywhere on the internet. That's BROTHADOM, not the hard ER. You won't find me. So that's Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Tumblr, anywhere you want to find me. You can find Steph on Twitter at Captain Steph. You know, she's the captain.
I'm captain now.
You can find her on Tumblr at The Snow Queer. It's like the Snow Queen. I'm a little gay.
A little gay. It's cool.
You can find this podcast on Twitter at Character Rev. That's two R's in the middle, so Character, then R-E-V. You can find us on Facebook by searching Character Reveal. You'll know the logo. You'll know you're in the right place. It's curtains, a little curtain call. You can find this podcast if you want to follow it or listen to it, like on its main page. You can go to characterreveal.simplecast.fm, or you can find us on, I don't know, Google Play Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, all those different kind of places you should be able to find us. We finally got on iTunes, and wow, it feels amazing. It's great.
Yeah, it feels
good. And if you go to the Simplecast site, you can just get our RSS feed and just pop that into a different podcast catcher if you can't find us that way. And we both write for the Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog. That's where we write about nerdy stuff with an intersectional feminist kind of slant. I just had an article published about the idea of people enjoying media with women or people of color or marginalized groups, but not really respecting those groups. And it kind of talks back to when Mike Pence saw Hamilton, the idea that racists will still be sports fans, despite the fact there's lots of black people playing. And you had some articles go up this week too, right?
As always, yeah. I had, gosh, what did I write about this week?
You write like you're running out of time. It's hard to remember.
It is hard. Well, I've been ahead of myself for the last week, so I didn't actually write any posts for the last week, this like during the week. This week I have coming up a Trailer Tuesdays talking about that, the Mummy movie that's coming out. because I've got a lot of things to say about that unexpectedly. And, I've got a throwback planned for, Thursday, but I haven't actually finished the book that I'm throwing back, so I can't tell you what my opinion of it is going to be. You'll just have to tune in and find out.
That vaguely feels like cheating. Throw back to this thing that I'm reading.
Well, I mean, I read it before a long time ago, and I'm trying to...
Oh, okay.
It's one of my favorite books from, like, my ninth grade era. But I don't remember, like, the author that it's by. Like, I've done a throwback on one of her other books before and come to the realization that even though I enjoyed the book, it's like a super like white savior-y book. Or I don't know, is it white savior when it's like a? It's a white savior book. It's like a white girl joins like a desert tribe and becomes better at the tribe's stuff than they are, and then saves the day.
Yeah, that's it.
So,
I guess Tarzan kind of counts.
Yeah, Tarzan kind of counts. Atlantis. Like, those kind of things.
Dragon Ball Z, the movie.
Yeah.
Not the show. Avatar, The Last Airbender, the movie, not the show.
Yeah, I mean,
if they would have made an Avatar movie, which I don't think they ever did.
Yeah, I have no memory of this.
Oh, well, they should make one of those one day. Maybe not, though.
Maybe not, I don't know. Hopefully they get the casting right. I feel like that would be the most worrisome thing if they were going to make an Avatar, The Last Airbender movie.
Yeah, like, I hope they don't, like, whitewash the characters. Well, they'll probably, you know what they'll probably do if they ever make a live-action Airbender movie?
Hmm.
They'll probably whitewash the Water Tribe and then make the Fire Tribe the Dark Team, the Fire Nation the Dark Team. I mean, just as what Hollywood seems like.
Sounds know. Sounds like something Hollywood would do.
Yuck. Anyway. Well, cool. Hey, listeners, thanks for sticking with us for another episode. We hope you had fun. Again, if you like what you're hearing or have any positive or constructive is the word, criticism, you leave us a review in a tweet, an iTunes review. I think you can review on Stitcher, maybe. Leave us a review there, and we'll be happy to try to improve ourselves. Ratings definitely help, so go over there and do that. And you got anything else, Steph?
I'm good for this week.
Cool, we did it. So look forward to the character reveal, and we'll see you all next week. And until next time, see you later.
Bye.